It's C-Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now. Brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford, this is the best in Texas. We bring you our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's it going?
Man, we're doing well. We're doing well. There's a couple things that I wanted to ask you going back to a Sunday's game, and I know it was just a half, but what did you think of seeing Joe Milton out there? Like, in terms of what did you think of the way he played?
We have work to do.
Yeah, he's got a lot of ground to cover. I thought that, you know, if you like a running quarterback, I think that was the best part of some of the things he did. But as for throwing the football, I thought the inaccuracy was alarming. The fact that I'm not sure where he was throwing the ball on the interception. He had a wide open receiver deep, and he missed him by 10 yards. So he looked like a quarterback that hasn't played a lot of football and that he still needs a whole lot of seasoning going forward.
When it comes to that, Mickey, and we kind of talked about that when we were in Oxnard, he got a lot of preseason games. He got all of them. And when it comes to like how he can get those reps, he's not going to get reps in practice, as we've discussed. What can he do this offseason? I mean, find himself a quarterback's coach and go just say, I'm committing to these things. Like, what else can he do this offseason?
Yeah, I think that maybe he, you know, when they're not allowed in the building here, maybe he needs to find a quarterback guru to work with. I think his recognition was slow. But then when you're not practicing all season long, and then it's like, okay, big boy, get in there. You had 2 days of practice here this week, and not all of it because Dak was still preparing to play and possibly the whole game if that's what they decided. I think from a preparation standpoint, he just needs snaps. He needs to play football. But before that, I think there's a lot of things that he needs to work on. Footwork, where are you looking? Arm angles and, you know, things like that. And I think it's very hard for a young quarterback to be the immediate backup without getting a lot of work.
Then I guess same general question for the running backs. I know both Blue and Maffa had touchdowns. I know that does not necessarily is the end-all be-all for anything, but what did you think about watching them out there?
Well, I thought Blue showed me what I thought he could show in the first half. The ability to hit a hole with speed, elusiveness, and able to explode through the hole and show teams that, you better be on your toes when this guy gets the ball at the line of scrimmage because he's going to be by you sooner than you think. And I think the first half certainly showed that. I mean, he had 11 carries for 76 yards.
Right.
The second half, it was, five carries for minus 12? I think that had a lot to do with the offense. You take Dak out, and I'm sure the defense was sitting there going, they're just going to hand the ball off. We're not going to allow that to happen. And I'm trying to remember one of the possessions started like inside the 5-yard line or something like that. I like what I saw from him. I think it was still a shame, and I know what their problem was, so to speak, of why he wasn't being active. The fact that he couldn't play special teams or he wouldn't, throw him out there once or twice. Give him a kickoff return. I'm not saying you're going to replace Turpin, but if that's a way to get him some snaps, then do so. I just thought that, I don't know about his – we don't get to see all of the practice and what his practice deal is. He didn't play special teams. I get it. But this guy's got some special talents that I think they need to tap into this coming season.
What do you think is happening today? Are we making our defensive coordinator announcement at 11:30 here, Mick?
Yeah. What do you think?
I think there's going to be a lot of nothing, but some kind of general ideas on the state of the Cowboys.
Well, and think about this with this, you know, hiring a new defensive coordinator. These guys with so many coaching for head coaching openings, there's no rush to take a job, is there?
Not yet.
And a lot of these guys, you're when everybody comes up with these names, I'd like somebody that's an up and coming guy that has a job instead of trying to hire somebody that either got fired or was on a staff that's no longer intact and doesn't have a job. Why don't they have a job?
Good point.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to disparage like Jonathan Gannon. Well, if he's such a good defensive guru, his team finished 3-13, and they were 29th in points given up. I know that was better than the Cowboys at 32, but not that much better.
Right.
He didn't fix his own team, and he's the defensive guy, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm not going to go over every guy's name that came up, but is there somebody that maybe hasn't had a chance to be a defensive coordinator but is close to it and maybe up-and-coming guy in the NFL? Can I hire a guy like that?
I like where you're going.
But here's the other thing. No. If any of these guys have, like, multiple opportunities, what do you think they're going to look at?
Yeah.
They're going to look at what they're inheriting on that defense.
And it doesn't look good here. Yeah.
And so, you know, it's not like, oh, yeah, I'm going to come in and just wave my magic wand and turn everything around. I looked at, and I'm going to write about this today, but I'm going to tell you guys. I was looking at games missed by players who either started, were close to starting, guys that you were counting on, missed games. You missed 15 games total between Bland and Diggs. Those were supposed to be your Pro Bowl caliber starters, right?
Yeah.
Together, they missed 15 games. If I went through those two, Elam started at some point.
Yeah.
And just defense. Nealon, Clowney, Mozzie, Revel, Carson, and DeMarvian Overshown. The games they all totaled and missed, and if I throw in Parsons, because you were counting on him, what, 5 days before the opener or whatever it was?
Right.
It comes to 106 games missed.
Oh.
So I understand, you know, I understand, okay, we're going to move on from Matt Eberflus, but I'm not sure he had a fighting chance what he was trying to survive with on a defense that ended up at the cornerback position playing most of the guys with no more than 2 years of NFL experience.
So what's your sell then? What's your sell to be like, you should come to the Cowboys to be our defense coordinator?
I think it's a tough one. I saw an interesting name, Jim Leonard.
Yes.
In Denver.
Yes.
But what if Vance Joseph gets a head coaching job? He likely would be the next guy up to be their defensive coordinator, right?
That makes sense.
And so he's probably going to slow play it to see what happens with all those. What is there, seven jobs open now?
That is correct.
Harbaugh getting fired?
Yep.
So, I just don't know. You know, I'm just worried about retread coordinators.
I gotcha. Yeah.
And so that's kind of my feeling on it, that there's, you know, I don't know that there's a rush to go ahead and do something, because some of these guys that are supposedly really good, wouldn't they be candidates for head coaching jobs?
Yeah. Except for Cliff Kingsbury. He's a candidate to be a head coaching job, regardless of whether he's good at his job
or not.
But he
does.
Sorry, that's my own personal. Yeah. All right. Well, I know the presser is coming up. Thank you very much, and we'll talk with you again tomorrow and Friday.
Yeah, that's great. I'll talk to you guys. See ya.
There you go. Mickey Spagnola right here on 105.3 The Fan. By the way, just a quick separate note, and I did see this from Patrick Walker, the futures deals that the Cowboys signed. Treshawn Holden, Paris Campbell, Isaiah Land, Zion Childress, Julius Wood, to name a few. I think there was two or three other. Nick Everett was on the list. And so they did sign some younger players to those futures contracts.
Heck yeah, man. Building that team.
Look,
one future at a time.
I agree. I would love it if I was like, all right, so Childress is going to be ready. Land is going to be ready to play a big role. And
yeah.
But
yeah, they're going to get to compete in camp.
Yeah.
And show something and get people excited. And if they're released in some way, shape, or form, people are going to be like, how could you let them go? Look, they're starting for another team now. And you'll be like, all right, it'll happen. We need good veteran starters right now and premium top flight picks on this team.
Yeah. Would you, maybe this is a question for another day.
Litter this roster with veterans that are good and picks that are high.
And I can draw up exact scenarios. What do you consider a high pick? Like top 50?
Yeah, top two rounds.
Okay. So would you guys be interested in a scenario in which, let's say I create, I don't know, like four or five top 50 picks out of your two first round?
And I'd also like making sure that those second round picks aren't guys that were hurt that could have been first round picks.
Right.
Because as good as that sounds,
yeah,
man, come on, we're not trying to get premium picks from the Goodwill bin again.
Right. I gotcha. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. Coming up next, I'll let you decide if this is a logical segue. It's time for My Buddy's an Idiot. Does your friend have a terrible sports or pop culture opinion, or do they have a whole bunch of appearances set where you can't get autographs? Let us know. We will do that next right here on the Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan. We got the Cowboys presser coming up in about 6 minutes or less time than that break. And we've got My Buddy's an Idiot. But first, we go to Corey Majors for I Don't Know.
This is Babe Laufenberg, our good friend Babe,
yes.
Posted this. And this is, Kevin, I hate that if we talk about Eberflus or we talk about the players or we talk about front office, if we only do one, that means we are ignoring the other one.
Oh, man.
And this is... He said, I know four coordinators in 4 years. As the Cowboys are about to embark on is not good for continuity, but 80% of the defense next year will not have played for Dan Quinn's system. 50% won't have even been here for Mike Zimmer's. The onus is on the front office to provide players that the new DC needs. Don't find square pegs for round holes.
Yes.
This is why you've been so ecstatic that they made the move. Whatever move they made, they made it now so they can plan in order. The next thing in order, you find the defensive coordinator fast. Say, what the hell do you need? And he says, I need this, 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 and this. I love what you have with this, but we need to find three more of these. And then you go get them.
Yeah, and like if you're dead set on these are the personnel, this is what we got, and we're not changing, then don't go hire somebody that you're like, oh, I like this fella, if that's not what he excels at coaching.
Absolutely.
And it feels like we do that far too much. All right. Well, I guess the Cowboys can kick off My Buddy's an Idiot then. Let's fire it up. Now, the Cowboys are in there because of, well, you know, the reasons. And then you saw the season. I guess we have to throw the Stars in there as well for just getting absolutely blasted last night by the Hurricanes. That is now six straight losses for the Stars, or the equivalent of the number of times they lost between November 4th and December 21st. But not the worst hockey effort yesterday. The New Jersey Devils lost 9-0.
In a hockey game?
To the Islanders. Made it look like they were the early 80s Islanders out there. And the Devils have lost two straight for their last six. And probably more importantly, they lost 9-0.
How does that happen? I guess it's today's era of hockey. It's not as tough as it used to be. I mean, they wear visors, you know?
I don't know if, I mean, I guess.
It is weird to say after Jamie Benn just took that one and, like, he's one of four players that doesn't wear visors because he was grandfathered in. I get that. But, like, this, that the era of hockey is more offensively explosive. That's a bad game, though, man.
Well, I think you'll appreciate this. Their goalie said, "We want to apologize to the Devils fans. I've got to be better." Now, this part is...
Was he the emergency goalie?
Oh, no.
He was the regular one.
He was the regular one.
Oh, no.
And if you... Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you think that's bad, the Devils, who lost, had 44 shots, and the Islanders had 24. The Islanders scored 9 times on 24 shots. So they had 9 shots on net that went in, 15 that didn't.
That's pretty impressive.
They kept their goalie out there the whole time.
Dude, that you and Flula must love that, the efficiency.
I do love the efficiency.
Germans love efficiency, and Kevin went to Germany this year to see how efficiency works.
Yeah.
Or last year.
I was alarmed at the inefficiencies of the camp that they ran.
Oh, what about the rest of the things?
Oh, yeah.
You were like, oh, I see how this is.
We went to the teddy bear factory. Oh, yeah. Did you know that? First teddy bear was made by a German person in a wheelchair.
Wow.
You don't care.
The factory was very efficient.
Yes, exactly.
No waste.
Okay, well, I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
I'm not here to be a whistleblower or anything.
Oh, man.
All right. Do you want to go with the Raiders or the Rangers? That's baseball Rangers, not hockey Rangers.
Rangers.
Are the Texas Rangers an idiot? I'm sorry. January 19th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, and 25th, they're going to be at a variety of Kroger's. Rangers players are going to be there, captain, the six shooters, they're all going to be there and everything. That's great. But they made sure to say no autographs.
Kroger's a great store.
Yeah, you can get shopping done and get a photo.
Like, yeah, man. And you can get good flowers.
Oh, yes. True.
I found out you
very true.
I couldn't find recycling bags there yesterday, but maybe I was looking in the wrong spot. You know, the trash bag area.
Is there a separate, like, recycling trash bag that I need to be buying?
No. So
I was like, oh, no!
So usually whenever you take things, like, that don't fit in the recycling thing, you put them in, like, the blue bag. And I can't find any of those for some reason.
Oh.
Anyway, different story for a different time.
But are the Texas Rangers
idiots? You can't get autographs?
Because they're like...
Can you get pictures?
Yeah, you can get a picture, but a lot of people, if you looked on social media last night when the Rangers posted this... A lot of people were responding in anger because you can't get autographs.
I'm kind of confused on, we've talked about what Emmett did.
For sure.
A long time ago. I was there to see it happen.
And that makes sense to
And
me.
It does make sense. They're saying you can't earn money off this event, this free thing at Kroger.
It is unfortunate that so many people assume that you get the autographs to sell them.
I agree.
That sucks. Like, we had the Hardys the other day. I asked them to autograph my WrestleMania 2000 book, and I was like, I promise I'm never going to sell this. Like, this is just for me personally. But I hear what
you're
saying.
This is very interesting because it is a, hey, come get a very personal thing. It's you and
for
a picture.
Sure.
And that's free, right?
Yes, correct. All 5 of the stops are free.
While you're there, get some groceries.
Yeah, make it efficient. Mm-hmm. By the way,
buy some bacon and eggs.
I saw this. Did you see because of the coaches that they have fired and the coordinators and whatnot? Next year, Mark Davis and the Raiders will be spending about $50 million on coaches that are already fired.
Really?
Yeah, because it goes all the way back to Pierce. And then you've got McDaniels, Gruden apparently still has some money, Pete Carroll, Chip Kelly, so... Good job, Raiders.
Yeah, I mean...
See, we're not as bad as them!
Do what Jerry does and stick it out with them until their contract's done.
Yeah, or hire a coach that already coached somewhere else and is getting some money from them.
Or hire a coach that actually can do the job.
What?
How about that?
All right.
And then give them the things they need to actually get the job done.
That is a controversial opinion. Speaking of controversial opinions, did you see that the commissioner of NASCAR finally announced his resignation after 20 years? And it makes sense that it would happen because, look, he had some text that got leaked, including where he called Hall of Fame team owner Richard Childress a stupid redneck who needs to be taken out and flogged. He also called him an idiot and an ass clown. I would be willing to wager.
Who says flogged anymore?
That is a good question.
Whoever says that, that's not in my vocabulary.
I would be willing to wager that nobody would really want all of their text message released out into the world because
out of context, yes, very unique. Yeah.
Yes, but that looks pretty bad when it's somebody that people really seem to like, or at least is a Hall of Famer.
Can I just think about me texting you something that we had joked about on air?
Yes.
And now there's this text that has this thing that says something we joked about on air.
Yes.
And nobody has any context to go through with it. That being said, I still think using the word flogged is ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's probably tough.
Update your vocab.
And it's probably tough to explain the context of he's a stupid redneck who needs to go out back and get flogged. I don't know what the context is to set that up that would get you out of it, but... You know.
That being said, Friday.
Don't son of a gun.
I think we have a good
Dang
quote
it.
From Kevin.
All right. Do you want
to- Dude, oh my gosh. Just think about all the times that, like, Kevin doesn't like somebody and we could play that drop.
Oh, please don't do that. All right. Do you want to go to Charles Woodson or Lenny Dykstra?
Let's go to...
One is funny and one is not.
Let's go to Woodson first.
Okay. Charles Woodson is the funny one. Okay. So he has gotten burned by ChatGPT like so many people have in the past. He said that AI had told him that Green Bay was 0-6 in the NFC North and last year, and they were actually 1-5. Now, a lot of people got super bent out of shape about that. I could see how you'd be like, it's fine, just move on with your life. But that's not really the society that we live in. But you always got to double check. Because ChatGPT can lead you astray. I almost got in an argument with ChatGPT because I'm a loser, but also because they were trying to tell me this King of the Hill episode that was a Christmas episode existed that does not exist. And I just responded, that's not a real episode. And they go, oh, looks like you're right. But they had said it was like season, 12, episode 9. And they had all these details. And when I go, that's not real, they go, you know what? You're right.
Chat still sometimes pulls things from conspiracy theory sites, is what you're saying.
Like the new Stranger Things episode that's coming out that's the real finale.
Don't get me started
on that. You've heard about that, right, Alec?
Are you ready?
It's not.
You haven't watched any of it, have you?
I haven't, so it doesn't affect me.
We had Cara Buono in studio. She took a picture with me that offended my wife. And
it did? Oh, no.
She was like, she's standing way too close to you. Oh. And every time she says, your new mom, to my kids, they get upset about it.
I could see that.
But she took the same picture with our boss and Vecna, so I feel like I'm okay.
Yeah, but she's not looking at other people's social media. She's looking at yours.
That's true.
And then if you pull up her social... Okay, PJ Washington.
He's right about that.
We need
that
to
one.
Have him back on the show again.
Yeah, we do.
But then if you go look at all these other pictures on her social media, then your wife's going to be like, really?
She's just a trollop.
How much time do you spend on her social media? And so, like, you can't win.
Yeah, good point. Good point. You're looking at lots of pictures, huh?
Yeah.
And she'll be like, why did you use the word trollop? That's old.
Now, yeah, you can't say you're mad at somebody for using old-timey verbiage and then do it yourself. All right. The Charles Woodson one was more fun. This one is not fun. Lenny Dykstra is back in the news. Of course, you recall, he's already spent plenty of time in jail. During a New Year's Day traffic stop, the cops suspect that he had either crack or meth on him because, and this is true, when he opened the glove box... Because, if you get pulled over, licenses, registration.
Pounds of crack and meth now, fell out of the... Is that...
It said they observed in plain sight
kilos.
A container holding suspected crack cocaine or methamphetamine and a glass smoking device containing suspected drug residue. All right. I don't know where the proper place is to keep your drug paraphernalia in your car. Probably
not in your car.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Yeah.
And also not in the spot where if you get pulled over, you have to open your car.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true.
But you're right. The first place is not
your car.
Yeah.
Or make sure it's in the trunk somewhere hidden in the lining,
Man, okay.
Or in a tire that you can easily access.
All right, so he's been accused of, well, many different counts of being under the influence, as well as all of the
Where
drug
do you keep
charges.
Your drugs?
In the medicine cabinet.
It's where they're supposed to be. Nobody.
Those
do you think
like
anybody's going, if I had illegal drugs in my medicine cabinet, nobody's going in there. They're just like, oh, these are just their medicines. He needs some Allegra today.
Okay. So your idea of hiding the drugs is almost in plain sight.
Yeah, put it right
where
there.
People wouldn't normally look.
Exactly.
Oh, interesting. By the way, side note to all of that, a lot of people say it's the last place you look.
It is.
When you find something, why would you keep looking if you found it?
That
of course it's going to be the last place you look. No, like Alex is going to be like, I lost my keys. Let me go check a few other places after I found them. That's stupid.
Kevin, it's a dad joke. I bet it's in the last place you look.
Oh.
And then you're like, you walk off and you're like, whatever. Yeah, it's the last place I'm thinking of. And then you find out, when you find it, you're like, oh, it really was the last.
Yeah.
Damn it, dad.
By the way, there's a lot of people who have been through this. Obviously, you put it under your spare tire, dog. Corey's definitely been through this before. Man, a lot of people have thoughts about that straight away.
From the 903, hey, Kevin, how else do you get your drugs home? Good point. You got to drive them home or have somebody deliver.
Okay, so your contention is, well, don't blame Lenny Dykstra. Blame the drug delivering system
exactly.
by which you have to get your drugs home.
Yeah, well, we need a DoorDash for drugs.
That is a take. Go ahead and send in your names for it. I know y'all are thinking about it. All right, real quick. On the college football front, Ty Simpson has entered the 2026 NFL draft. Alabama quarterback. I know for a time earlier in the season, some people thought he could maybe move in position to be the number one pick in the draft. Not to be, but he has the potential to perhaps be a first round pick, especially because we know how much the market accelerates quarterbacks into the first round to get that fifth year option. So we'll see how the evaluation process goes, but that's a possibility. And then the Mavericks are going to face the Rockets in 2026 in the NBA China Games in Macau. So they're going to play two preseason games, making official something that Dumont had like really hinted at a few months ago.
Okay, that sounds really awesome.
If it's a preseason game, do you...
Not at all.
Okay, because I know it's
for the... It's a preseason game.
I know it's more for the people of China, but I was just curious if that took...
Yeah, no, it's an exhibition.
All.
It's fun. I like the idea. I like the concept of taking the brand places.
Okay.
I know there's a lot of controversy when it comes to that, though.
Yeah.
That specific place.
Look, and we're going to have a long-form discussion tomorrow or the next day about how college football is not going to go back. I think this is another thing. You don't have to like it, but I don't think it's going to go back. Now, got one more thing I want you guys to ponder.
Hash Dash from the 817. FentX from, okay.
Hash Dash is pretty good.
Drug Hub from the 432. This is the drug talk I needed today, guys. Thank you. And I appreciate the Tolos for listening.
You know what I don't like about the Drug Hub is they put grub in parentheses. They're like, hey, this is clever. Too clever for the likes of you.
You
surely can't figure this out. All right. Want to see if any of these intrigue you. The odds of the double championship. Now, I'm going to give you City's odds to win the NBA and Super Bowl title, or the World Series and Super Bowl title, or, you probably guessed it, the Stanley Cup and the Super Bowl. All right, which would you like me to start with?
Stanley Cup and Super Bowl.
All right, Stanley Cup and Super Bowl. There are only three teams currently eligible for this. You can get two combinations unless you want the really awesome one. If you think the Carolina Hurricanes and Carolina Panthers will win the Super Bowl and Stanley Cup, 1,670 to 1 on your money.
Wow.
And those are the kind of bets.
All I got to do is drop a dollar.
Well, yeah, those are the kind of things. But if you won, how pissed would you be if you didn't, that you were like, what, I'm
should have just got $100.
Yeah. For the Colorado Avalanche and Denver Broncos, 29 to 1.
Oh, those aren't as great of odds, but still.
I know, but don't you think?
Yeah, throw $100 on that.
Those are two pretty viable teams right there.
Yes.
And then if you really want to press your luck, you can get the Colorado Avalanche, Denver Nuggets, and Denver Broncos to all win their titles for 266 to 1.
Oh, I want to do this.
Okay.
What's the other city?
Those are all Denver.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right.
Bad.
You want World Series Super Bowl or NBA Super Bowl?
Kevin, somebody said from the 940, defnotdrugs.com.org. And I like that one. Because you're like, oh, it's definitely not.
So all right, would
back
you just
to
be
you.
Driving around in a truck that said definitely not drugs?
And the cops are like, can't pull them over. We have no cause.
I do not think that's going to work out the way you think it's going
to
work out.
All right, back to you and your betting.
World Series Super Bowl or NBA Super Bowl?
World Series Super Bowl.
All right, World Series and Super Bowl. Do any of these plays intrigue you? You can get the Seattle Mariners and the Seattle Seahawks for 63-1.
Okay, that's actually pretty good.
If you want to double up on Philly, 115-1. But here's the real long shot.
I don't want to double up on Philly.
If you want the Milwaukee Brewers and the Green Bay Packers, 545.
I don't like any of these options.
Okay, well, they're the long shot.
Yeah, I get it. But like the Seahawks one, like they might win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I can't believe that the Mariners will.
Okay.
Nothing will allow me to believe that.
All right, so you want more reasonable expectations.
But I do like those Packers and Brewers odds. Yeah,
okay. All right, you want more reasonable expectations. I'm going to take you NBA and NFL. The Denver Nuggets, because Jokic is coming back, and the Denver Broncos. 71-1 on your money.
Here's what I don't understand. Why weren't the Rockies included in the Colorado Rockies and the Denver Broncos?
Ooh.
With the World Series. Do they think that the Rockies can't win the World Series? I think the odds are longer on that.
That is correct. They think the Rockies cannot win the World Series.
They're like, don't even put
it
off the board altogether.
Yeah, nobody's going to bet that. We're not going to take the financial liability of making it like 10,000-1 or whatever the case would be. All right. Denver, Nuggets and Broncos, 71-1.
That's viable.
Okay.
That's viable.
You're not going to like this one.
You celebrate it on LinkedIn. I'll tell you why it won.
Okay. You're not going to like this one as much for odds, but do you think the Bears could win the Super Bowl and the Bulls could win the NBA championship? Because if so, I can get you 2,100-1 on your money.
I think that the Bears can get to the championship game, but not the Super Bowl. I don't know enough about the Bulls. You tell me. You're a Bulls guy. You've always been a big Chicago fan.
They started off hot and have fallen off a cliff.
Yeah, and they're getting ready. They want Anthony Davis, too, so that's how desperate they are.
I mean, great.
So, no, I'm not taking that bet at all, Kevin. I don't believe in it.
Even 2,100-1? Alec, you'd put a dollar on that, right?
I'd put five.
Oh.
Would you put 15?
I'd do 20.
What about 140?
All right, stop pushing.
Why 140?
I don't know.
Okay. Well,
I guess that's the number that came out of my mouth.
Okay. Thank you for that. All right. So just in case you wanted to jump in on those crazy betting odds, I wanted to throw them out there for you. Right now, Alec, I know you're not prepared for this, but that's totally fine. Let's do some mini baseball nuggets and see if the Cowboys ever decide to hold their presser. I think this is very indicative of the way they run their organization.
Kevin, when you're important, people wait for you, is what John Travolta once taught me in, like, Get Shorty or something.
Yeah, he didn't teach you that in the 80s, though. He had to wait until it came back around in the 90s. Then, after Pulp Fiction, he is like, all right, people will wait on me again. All right, let's start with a bidding war for Cody Bellinger. It is heated up. A lot of people think he's going to be in New York, either with the Yankees or the Mets. The Dodgers and the Giants are in the mix as well. And look out for those Chicago Cubs, because the word is they are in on this as well as Bo Bichette. So the Cubs might be looking to make a move. So remember when I told you about that Cubs-Bulls play, just keep that in mind. They might be on the move. So look out for the Cubs to be making some potential big-time moves.
Cody Bellinger is a fascinating player.
We're ready to go, finally, with the presser right here on the Fan.
How you doing, man?
Morning.
How you doing? Calvin Watkins of the Dallas Morning News. Jerry, just your thoughts on the disappointment of where you are right now with your season.
Well, this is the first time in my life I've ever been disappointed. Most of the time, I've had more disappointments than I've had highs. And so this certainly is an example of what can happen to you in this game, football. You guys have heard me say that a lot of times. It has fleeting moments of euphoria, and those are made special by having hard times. Specifically, I am disappointed that we aren't in the playoffs and aren't in good shape to be in the playoffs. So that is a disappointment.
What's your message to the fan base in terms of you can get this fixed?
I think I point to the pluses that we have. I will start off by saying that Brian is one of the reasons for our fans to be excited about our future and his first year. And if there would be a definition of how you would like to come in your first time as being a head coach in the National Football League and have a nice learning experience, I think you could say that he's experienced things that will, in my mind, make him better qualified to be the head coach in the coming years than he was when we hired him this time last year. So I point to that. I point to Dak. And I think we saw what we can have. I think I saw Dak at the best I've ever seen him this year. And that's saying a lot because he's played some great football around here. But first of all, we had him all year. And so I've seen him. I know I've been criticized that we wasted having him all year. One of the reasons in my mind that we had him all year is I liked the way that Brian put a plan in for our offense that was a combination of addressing success and good offense, along with things that took him out of harm's way in some cases. And so in a lot of cases, specifically, that was thought about, discussed, and planned going forward. Let's do everything we can do to keep him out there and keep him available. And so that worked very good, and you see the results that he had there. I think that some of the coaching that we had on our team was outstanding. From the assistant coaches, and he's going to speak to that, I'm sure, but I will tell you from my perspective, I saw things to get real excited. I want our fans to know. I saw some things to get real excited about the abilities that we have of our coaching. I would like to remind everybody that a fact of life in this NFL is availability, and that can go over into the coaching. Because if you have a lot of success, you're replacing coaches. You're replacing them all the time. Detroit lost their two coordinators last year. So you have, it's nothing new. The sun's coming up to be sitting each year looking at replacing a coach. The system in the NFL is designed for coaches to have the best chance to move on. And that happens. And if whether you're doing it really good or whether you're doing it really bad, that can happen to you. We've got to do a better job of when we have a change that needs to be made for if it's our own volition or somebody else, we got to do a better job of picking who's going in there. But Brian, again, will be very involved in that process as we were last year when we made those changes. And we will do a very intense, complete focus job of replacing where Flus and any holes that are left here because of Flus' job. I think those things are more positive than negative, and so I see improvement. I like what we've got to build on, the positives of the year where the offense did play well. We've got some young people involved in that offense. We've got some new people involved in the offense. The other thing I will say, and I don't want to get it going that I talk about Parsons a lot. I don't want to get that going. But I've been talking about Herschel Walker for 35 years. And so it wasn't Herschel Walker that we're talking about when we talk about Herschel Walker. This ain't Micah no more that we're talking about when we say Micah. We're talking about the action, the trade. So please, let's get our identification of our boundaries set up. Having said that, the very best of what we were trying to get involving the Micah Parsons trade is all out there ahead of us. It's all ahead of us. We've got some of it on the field already. We're going to get more of it on the field in the draft. The very best of that trade is out there, not the least of which Stephen will address and can address it better than me. No way in the world could we have ever entertained having a player like Pickens for the future if we had signed and had still had the Parsons trade and hadn't made the trade. We would not have had any flexibility. It was zero chance of having that money available for that. And for that matter, when we look at what we've done with Quinnen, it's been impossible to have Quinnen. So without getting wordy, which is impossible for me, as you know, without getting wordy, the very best part of that trade will come now. It has come, but we can build on it. We will be better, the parts that we got, the Quinnen, the parts that we got there. So I look forward to that. That is material. But it's only material if you buy into where we would have been had we not made the trade. And that one you're going to have to take a lot of our word for, of where we would have been had we not made the trade. But everybody in here can add and subtract and just use your imagination, and you can see we wouldn't be thinking about some of these things.
Clarence Dale, LS Cowboys. My first question, Jerry, you've intimated, outright said that you were the one who hired Matt Eberflus. Moving forward to the next coordinator, will Schottenheimer get to hire his own coordinator?
Trump just said it. I'm running. Venezuela. Seriously. Shotty had everything to do with hiring Matt Eberflus last time, and that's not done as a negative. But had no way in the world he's here if Shotty didn't want him here. Okay, let me be real clear about that. And he can tell you in his own words there. No way in the world if Stephen didn't want him here. But I particularly had a party when we got him to have him come in. And I was excited about having the uniqueness of his staff. The idea being you get there is an advantage to having your proverbial, you know, what kicked and still living to tell about it, having been shot at, hit in the foxhole, and come on back and have a go. Okay. That philosophy has not worked several times around here, and y'all have had me advocate it for the last 30 years. I like to have guys that have had hard times, and then they come back and get a chance to redeem it. One of the best things about all of football is you get to redeem yourself both on and off the field. If you're still active in a player, it's a redemption thing. And you've got that, and it will cause a lot of what you've done not satisfactory to be forgotten. Football does that for people, coaches and players. And so I say to our fans, the way we've done it, I'll assure you that the way we've done it in the past, that alone will cause me not to do it that way now. That alone, that simple logic, if whatever we've been doing to do it in the past there, if we need to change that, that'll happen. That's what you have to do when you're doing it, making the ultimate calls. We'll make it the same way that we've made all of the calls around here on staff. I wouldn't make a call if Stephen didn't agree with the call. I wouldn't make a call if we're involved with a player and somehow Will wasn't involved in the decision of making the call. I wouldn't do that. And by the way, those guys and me, we take a lot of opinion. If you want to criticize me for anything, it is that maybe I should make a lot of uninformed calls or contribution to the decision calls. But I've done it with consistency since the day I walked through the door here. We'll do it the same way as we hired Flus. We'll do it together and come up with as good as we can.
Brian, do you anticipate any more staff changes at a coordinator level or any staff changes now that Flus is gone?
Yeah, I mean, we're going through the exit interview process. I just got done with the players. I'll start the staff later this afternoon. And what I would say to that is, you know, we're evaluating everything. You know, this is I shared with you guys last week, right? This is an exciting time because we're getting answers to the test. We're figuring out where we came up short, where I came up short, where I need to be better. And you know, I want to go through the process. I want to sit down and continue to have great conversations with Steven and Jerry. And that'll probably take through the next couple of days, and we'll evaluate things after that.
Jerry, actually for all you guys, Todd Archer with ESPN. Is head coaching experience a must for the new coordinator? And if it isn't, is a first-time coordinator a possibility for y'all to look at as well?
No, yes. You ask a good question. And no, yes. No, it's not a requirement, having been a head coach. And yes, it's possible to have a first-time coordinator.
It's the shortest answer you've ever given.
It's a good answer. That's a good answer.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And Brian, why was there such a disconnect on defense as you look at it now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Todd, when we go back through the year and you look at it, I mean, it was the inconsistency. You know, I mean, it was different things every week. And, you know, some of the struggles in the pass game when we were playing zone, and then some of the struggles in the pass game when we were playing man-to-man. And, you know me, the number one thing that you want to do is stop the run. I thought we actually did that in the latter part of the season. I think where we ultimately came up short was we weren't able to take the ball away. You know, you look back at our shortcomings, and the team's playing this weekend, and I agree with Jerry. You know, I'm sick that we're not playing this weekend. We're good enough to play this weekend. Unfortunately, starting with me, we didn't play good enough in terms of the ball. You know, minus -9 in the giveaway-takeaway ratio, that's terrible. It's terrible. And so we have to protect the football on offense. We did not do that at a high enough level. And quite frankly, we did not get enough turnovers. Why? Turnovers create momentum. There's game-changing plays. And as we go back through the season and we look at it, those are going to be certain things that we'll identify. And that's the process that's kind of already started.
John Michaud with The Athletic. Brian, what are you looking for specifically for your next defensive coordinator?
Yeah, I think, John, a teacher. You know, I love what Jerry said. We want to cast a wide, you know, net of candidates and find someone that's a great teacher, a great communicator. You guys know me. You're around me a lot. I'm full of energy and love what I do. I think someone that's passionate about football. But the ability to take what is complicated information, what we ask our players to do in all three phases is complicated. We want guys that can say complicated information in a simple manner. And if I say something to you that you don't understand, I need the ability to say it a different way. The same message, but say it a different way, because how you learn might be different than how Nick learns or how Ed learns. And I think that's the starting point for me.
And then for Jerry, what is your offseason plan when it comes to free agency? Is there any plan to be even more aggressive than maybe years past?
Well, I've I think Clarence, everything that I've had happen, misquotes around here have emanated from Clarence. But we can have some fun. I don't want to sound by saying we're going to be active in free agency, then disappoint and say that we weren't. But if we have an opportunity in free agency, and if we have more than one opportunity, we're going to take advantage of the fact that we're in better shape today to play free agency.